fantastic program. I can just feel it in the air. It's 38 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of August in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and Snakefield studio of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like and engage with us electronically in some fashion. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Also, myriad MySpace pages, websites, and blogs and what have you. RickEmerson.com, SarahXDillon.com, TimRileyMedia.com. And then you look there down the right side of RickEmerson.com, and there's like 800 different MySpace sites. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Now, we have to be quick about it today. We'll bring on Mailman Chris later on in the hour to sort of we'll do sort of a secondary guarantees set later on. This one here at the top has to be, we have to be pretty quick and concise here. Because coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Nathan Phillips. You may remember Nathan Phillips from such movies as, Child Star, The Shirley Temple Story, and Blue Heelers. That's Heelers, H-E-E-L-E-R-S.
And it does have the film that he's most notably known for.
Oh, Warriors of Virtue 3?
That could be it.
No. You and Your Stupid Mate, in which he played Philip? How about was there a TV series based on The Object of My Affection? Well, apparently there was.
The Jennifer Aniston movie?
Yes, there was apparently a television spinoff of The Object of My Affection, in which he played Charlie Sanderson. Nate, but here's the only reason you care about him. Apparently, he is currently best known for his role as backpacker Ben Mitchell in Wolf Creek, a movie that I have not seen and don't know anything about. Raise your hand if you've seen Wolf Creek. Anyone? Yeah, of course, Aaron and Scott have seen it. Tim?
Yeah, but Scott hasn't seen it.
No, I have not. As of yet.
Scott Daly's sort of out of the loop movie-wise, though. So here's why you care about Nathan Phillips. Because Nathan Phillips plays Sean Jones in the greatest movie you have ever seen, Snakes on an MFM Plane, which opens this Thursday, 10 p.m. We're going to be giving away tickets to that. It is now Snakes on a Plane Week on the Rick Emerson Show. Now, Court and Fatboy, where they were doing this whole push, which I think was delayed by the fact that Court's wife had to push something big out of something small. And so everything has sort of been put on hold over at his house. But there was this whole push to make Snakes on a Plane Day a national holiday. National, you know, Snakes on an MF and Plane Day. So we're going to sort of take the baton there, and we're just going to make it Snakes on a Plane Week. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson program, we're going to be interviewing the director of Snakes on a Plane. Coming up Wednesday, we're going to be giving away more tickets. Thursday is the screening. Coming up today, we'll be talking to Nathan Phillips, who plays Sean Jones in that very fine film, which opens later on the week. So that's coming up here in just a few. We'll also get to some other things. We'll do a full tease later on in the hour. For now, let's go to the city desk and find out what Tim Riley is preparing for us.
The list of banned Carry On Airline items is tweaked. Boy George becomes a cleaner chameleon. Paris Hilton is rushed to the ER after being bitten by her pet kinkajou. And Tucker Carlson and Jerry Springer go dancing with the stars.
Her pet what?
Kinkajou.
Are you a kinkajou? Responsible for all the bitings in the world.
Oh.
Okay, there you go.
I was amused by that. Nobody else
Thank
was.
You. Thank you, Tim. He's going to follow me around everywhere I go. I found that amusing. And it's chortle heartily in the background. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Without further, I've got his theme here. Without further ado, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Holy crap.
Hello. From FilmFeverRadio.com, Scott Daly joining us here. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Haven't heard this theme in, God, over a year.
I got it. I told you I had it back.
I'm impressed.
Makes me kind of miss the Starbucks theme already.
Don't screw with me. I got music here to play. I can find something horrible.
No. I'm not complaining.
All right. And let's now welcome also from GeekInTheCity.com.
Sweet.
It's what happens when you start busting on me.
I love this song.
All right,
I'll start beatboxing it any minute now.
This is what Scotty J found to be the... This is going to be the underlying music anytime I talk about my home, my house, my neighborhood, something stolen from the immediate vicinity of where I live.
Lamont, where's the truck?
Mom, the truck is gone. I'm coming with you. I'm coming.
Aaron Duran from Geek in the City. .com. How is everyone today?
Good.
We're rolling.
You need to turn off the Like Us channel. Thank you.
The Snakes on the Plane interview thing came up Friday, literally as we were leaving the studio. I got a call from the studio saying, do you want to have an interview with Snakes on the Plane on Monday?
This is exactly how this... Is it possible that this song is 3.5 minutes long?
It's incredibly long, actually, yeah.
Is this the 12-inch, is this the house mix of the Sanford and Son?
The full Quincy Jones version.
Excellent. So here's what happened. So Scott was here on Friday doing his normal film review thing. We talked about World Trade Center, which opened strong, not huge, strong, number two. The Talladega Nights film, which I have not seen, which I have no interest in seeing, because I find it revolting. Not unlike Scotty's take on Brokeback Mountain. I find it repellent. I find it repellent and vile in every way.
I don't want to watch movies about those people.
World Trade Center opened fairly strong, though, especially for a movie that I got to tell you that it seems like a real buzzkill. Doesn't seem like a movie that you're going to be getting laid a lot after or something.
True, but I was very surprised by the opening as well. I think people went to see it out of curiosity.
To get some love, take my girl to see a 9/11 movie. Yeah. And so we had you on Friday, and it was about, 3:10, 3:15, something like that, after Friday's program. I can't believe that this music is continuing to go. Okay. When your phone rang and Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com was like, would you like to talk to some guys from Snakes on a Plane? It's like, you don't have to ask me twice about that. And I immediately said yes. And so we leapt onto the phones and we began locking down the interview. So tell me about this guy. Now, is he going to be calling us?
He is supposed to call.
Because if so, he's already late.
Noon.
Okay.
And what, noon 6 now?
Is this going to be one of those things that you swear is going to happen and then it doesn't happen?
Hey, yeah, Sarah was there when they got the call. You were there when I sent the confirmation email. So.
Okay. You're sure this was Pacific time, right? This wasn't some sort of a... He wasn't calling us at 9:06 this morning or something while I was back in my office playing Free Cell.
Oh, he's pretty sure. That doesn't sound too
You're
sure.
fairly sure.
God, you don't look very confident. This guy is from Australia, so is this a different day?
No.
Let me ask you this right now. I say as the full horror begins to sink in. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Upon whose expertise we rely in all things of this nature.
Yes.
How confident are you that you gave... I have to turn this music off. Okay.
Well,
confident are you that you gave the Snakes on a Plane guy the right time zone when you set up this interview?
When I got things going, I CC'd you on that email. So if you still have that email, let's take a look at it.
Let's check right here.
All right.
This is an email from Scott Daly at the Film Fever Radio. Let's see. Below is the list of information I need for you, blah, 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 blah. Monday, August 14th, 12 noon to 12:15 p.m. Pacific. All right, fair enough.
Thank you.
So it is Nathan Phillips, they do have all of, let's make sure they have the actual information. Are they calling us or are we calling them?
They are calling us.
All right. And Sarah, I'm going to show you, I won't give this out of the air, but this is the warm line number, is it not? let's find out. Okay, he does have the correct phone number, and this is actually the time during which he's supposed to call.
This is the 14th of August.
Is it?
Right?
It is, I believe. I believe it is. Here's how I know it's the 14th of August, because yesterday was my brother's birthday, and I forgot it. So there you go. So we're all set. All right, so tell us a little bit about Nathan Phillips. Do you know anything about this guy? Because he's going to call up, and this is going to be like Cool in the Gang all over again, and I'm going to have nothing to ask him.
It's all Snakes on the Plane the whole time, as far as I'm concerned. Wolf Creek is probably the most notable thing he's done in the past, but after Snakes on a Plane...
What really what is there is to there? Ask him beyond, like, so, you're in Snakes on a Plane. How's that working out? Where am I going to go with that?
Well, I think we should talk about the hype that's gone behind it, what's going on with his career, how much that's changed his life.
Ask him how he feels about being typecast as the Snakes on a Plane guy. ask him how he feels about literally being able to feel his career peaking right now. He can actually feel the plateauing happening.
But the cool thing about this role, he plays Sean Jones, the person for whom the snakes are targeted.
Is that true?
Yeah, he plays the guy Sam Jackson protects.
I know that this should go without saying, But I know so little about the actual plot of Snakes on a Plane. Sam Jackson and I are really in the same boat when it comes to this movie. The title, I'm there. You know, that's all I need to know. It's just like I saw the name and I was like, I'm in, brother. Like, I don't need to know anything else about it.
Yeah, he went on for the title. You're just seeing it for the title.
Nothing
else matters.
Yeah, like I never even got the script. I just saw the title and penciled it in. See Snakes on Plane.
So we're going to ask Nathan if he's already booked his next 10-year convention circuit.
Well, that's it.
Right next to the Babylon 5, guys.
If you are the guy. Who's in Snakes on a Plane? It is like Johnny. It's like Johnny Drama on Entourage. You can spend the rest of your life making your money by going to Comic Cons every year and charging idiots $15 for your autograph. That's it, man. That's you're on that gravy train for life. So, all right.
You know what? I could step out and make a quick call and see what's
because we're now
on.
10 minutes past when all the right. Snakes on a Plane guy, which you booked, Scott Daly, he was supposed to be calling 10 minutes ago. Let me ask you this: what do we get to do to you if he never calls?
Not a damn thing.
Okay. We'll think of something. Thank you. All right. Shall we? So this is probably a good idea. Do you want to go to the city desk? Because that's probably the thing to do so we don't get too terribly behind. So, Tim, if you want to step in here, and we will go to the city desk, and then we'll have Nathan Phillips, allegedly, from Snakes on an MFing Plane coming up inside this hour. Also, CNN radio correspondent Nanette Sosa and some other things that we will tease at the appropriate time. So, ladies, is Tim just gone?
I'll do it.
Let's just play the opener and see if he arrives.
Rick Emerson, Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
When things fall apart, who do you call?
Thank you, sir.
Well, it's a good thing I'm prepared, isn't it? Hello again from high atop the bottom of the Koi Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon.
I think somebody hasn't had his viso today.
I just had mine.
Oh. Yep. Maybe somebody's had a little too much.
So.
Can I just tell you this before we exit? I got an email from Alex, the guy at Viso. He is Mr. Viso, the guy who runs Viso is the head of the Viso Mountain. And he emailed me today about that. And apparently he said that because he speculated what is true, which is that there are two different types of visa that we have here. There's the caffeinated and then the decaffeinated. And he speculated correctly that we have gone through almost all of that caffeinated visa inside of like 10 days. I mean, they brought us like 30 cases of it, and I think we got like 4 bottles left, and that's about it. So he emailed me this morning. He's like, it sounds as though somebody's in need of new product. You know, just like rubbing his hands together and cackling with glee. So I think he's going to be dropping some of that off. All right.
Well, the president, facing crises in the Middle East and Iraq and nuclear disputes with Iran and North Korea, said he was using all his assets to protect the United States of America.
Is this cut one?
Yes, yes.
We're getting troubled times. But I'm confident in our capacity to not only protect the homeland, but I'm confident in our capacity to leave behind a better world.
I feel so much better just hearing that. By the way, here's something you have to know. So just now, as Tim Riley was getting ready to do the news, because we were presumably and ostensibly interviewing Nathan Phillips from Snakes on a Plane today, at the beginning of this Snakes on a Plane week on the Rick Emerson Show. Now, it is now 13 minutes after when Nathan Phillips is supposed to be calling us.
Maybe his tour bus broke down.
He's too full of ham sandwiches to get to the phone. So Scott Daly was booked this guy. The guy has failed to materialize. And so we sent Scott out into the hallway to try to figure out what's going on. No word back. No, you know, no explanation. No sort of excuse. No word. I'm just going to be coming back. So just now, during Tim's news, I look over at Scott and I give like the big universal sign for like, what's up? Like the shrug. And Scott just sort of goes like, and gives me the thumbs up and then just, like, looks away, indicating nothing. Just sort of a blind, stupid optimism.
I didn't want to interrupt Tim Riley's news, first of all. So there's respect to be paid for Tim. Uh-huh. But he should be, they say, any minute.
Within two or three minutes,
sure. They're gonna call.
The check is in the mail.
It's these Hollywood types, you know? We play by their schedule, unfortunately.
Yeah, because when you're Nathan Phillips, you make your own rules.
You've got people to talk to.
When you're the man who's... When you start in...
Oh, my God, you're talking about Nathan Phillips from Wolf Creek?
when you start in Neighbors playing... This is the character's name. When you've played John the Teabag Teasdale... on Neighbors. You are your own law, my friend. Here's Jim Riley.
Meanwhile, 3 days after banning flyers from carrying liquids, gels, and lotions past security checkpoints in airplanes, the Transportation Security Administration announced several tweaks would allow you to board with small doses of liquid medication. In addition, the agency says... Now, you have to remove all your shoes. I thought you had to remove your shoes to be x-rayed everywhere.
That's what I was saying to Bob Costantini last week when all of this crap started happening. That this is how you know they're making it up. This is how you, and I'm not saying that there aren't people out there, as Paul Stanley says. There are bad people in this world. I'm not saying that there isn't a threat out there, but I'm saying that this business of you having to remove your shoes, you know that it's all crap because there's been no consistency or unanimity to it all of this time. Because at Portland for the longest time, you've had to remove your shoes, but you didn't have to do it in Vegas. You had to take off your belt in Salt Lake, but not at LAX. There's been no consistency to any of these airplane and airport rules, which is how you know that it's all a bunch of crap. So that's exactly, So I guess they're letting you bring on liquids now, but only if they're actually necessary to save your life, like in case you have a diabetic coma or something you slip into.
Right.
So the long and the short of it is Sarah will still not be allowed to take her cosmetics on the plane. The only thing you're allowed to take on now are solid lipsticks.
Okay.
But that does mean that if you have, like, lip gloss, because you use that MAC lip gloss,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I say, turning even gayer with every word. You use that MAC lip gloss, and you will not be allowed to bring that on the plane because it is not a solid. So there you go. And by the way, your worst suspicions have been confirmed. We did have a story that came over the wire this weekend reporting that, yes, in fact, the airports of America are, in fact, selling your possessions after they take them away.
Oh.
So just so you know, just in case you have the slightest bit of idealism left, we'd like to beat that out of you right now.
But don't the proceeds go to cripple children?
No. No, they do not. If the proceeds went to crippling children, I'd be okay with that.
Meanwhile, an airport security check...
That was funny.
I thought so.
Okay. See, that's twice today that Tim has been right behind me to find something funny that the rest of you bastards didn't appreciate.
Off to Knoxville, Tennessee we go, as scores of departing passengers were chosen to step behind a curtain, sit in a metallic oval booth, and don headphones with one hand inserted into a sensor that monitors physical responses. The travelers use the other hand to answer questions and an on-screen touchscreen about their plans.
Are you now or have you ever been a member of a communist party?
This machine measures your biometric responses, blood pressure, pulse, and sweat levels. You too, and they find out if you too can be a terrorist by strapping you into this machine.
All right. Does Tom Cruise come out to tell you how you can find the answer to all life's problems?
No, they still make you drop your drawers.
Would you rather give orders than receive them? Do you ever feel nervous about things at all? Do you like stuff? Scotty? Is this now Nathan Phillips? Staring at the screen, waiting for an answer. The answer not coming.
He's overcome with
Scotty's dead.
With happiness.
He's transfixed. Well, because he's such a huge object of my affection, fan, that he's unable to type.
Oh, for the love of sweet God, hold on. Just no one move. Scotty, right. It is him? All right, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, ladies and
That's
gentlemen.
That's a good intro.
Thank you. I'm picking up on your sarcasm. Sons of bitches. I thought you were my wingman on this.
No, that was funny. Who's your wingman now?
All right, we'll go back to the city desk here in a few. Today's program is a little disorganized. Not like our normal flawless efficiency when it comes to the execution of all the things we do here. It is Snakes on a Plane week here on the Rick Emerson Show, so things are going a little hodgepodge today as we sort of schedule this and that to coincide with this momentous film event. Courtesy of Aaron Duran and Scott Dally from Geek in the City and FilmFeverRadio.com. We want to welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show Nathan Phillips from Snakes on a Plane, the most fantastic film of your or anyone's life. Nathan, yes. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you, mate. Very good. Samuel L. Jackson would be proud to hear that.
Thank you for...
that's good to know.
Thank you for coming on the show today. First of all, how does it feel to be part of a movie that is a cultural icon and a landmark before anybody has ever actually seen any of it?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing seeing the new age internet and what we've got going on. I don't know. I guess I'm just happy to see that people have another phobia when it comes to flying and terrorists up in the back of the mind. And it's all about snakes on a plane now. And when you're having a bad day, you know what? Can't be worse than having snakes on the plane. So I think I think it's going to alleviate a lot of pressure out of people's day, and, you know, it's going to be a fun film for people.
So you are. So what you're doing with this film is you're really setting the bar for Fear on a Plane so high that every day fears will just seem minimal by comparison.
Yes, by a catastrophic, inexplicable natures of forces, there will be snakes on a plane and people will be dreaming about it, and next time they fly, kids with little teddy bears stuffed snakes are just going to strike fear and havoc into the hearts of all passengers.
I'm totally bringing a stuffed snake on the next time I fly.
That is fantastic.
Love it.
Now, have you done any sort of publicity for this, by which I mean, have you done any of the comic book conventions, any film conventions for this movie yet? Because that's your bread and butter. They're gonna be all over this.
I'm creating a line of T-shirts. I'm working on writing the sequel with Ken Thompson. I'm trying to sign Sam at the moment for the sequel, Snakes on a Bus.
now, see,
looking forward to a lot of offshoots from this.
Here's the thing: when you talk about writing the sequel, Snakes on a Bus. I mean, I'm kind of sure that you're joking there, but really, who's to say? Because at
who's
this point,
to say?
You could make, you got to know that you could just make one of these every year for the rest
Maybe
of your life.
Die Hard 4.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. You snakes on a train, snakes on a plane in Spain, snakes in the rain. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard, but you could just be doing this forever.
So well, I hope so. The snakes are great to work with. Besides being in the contract, you couldn't look at them. They were always on time, friendly to work with. I'm a fan of the reptile.
Fantastic. We're talking to Nathan Phillips from Snakes on a Plane.
So go see it.
Yeah.
Popcorn fun. It's just a fun summer movie, kids.
Oh, we're thrilled. There's really no hype necessary. We're there.
Yeah, I know.
I have a question. When you were making the film, did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into?
No, I thought it was going to be one of those really bad straight-to-DVD, hold the sock on the rope or the, you know, the door stopper thing, and it was going to be really, really Anaconda Second. I think they made that.
Anaconda the Second.
That's fantastic.
So my fears were... very quickly okayed by the fact that only Sam was on board, then the rest of the crew, Bobby Cannavale, Juliana Margulies, and so on, and David Ellis, a brilliant, fun man making a film that's fun.
Let me ask you this. Juliana Margulies, as hot in person as she looks in the movies?
Well, you've seen Sopranos recently, my friend?
I have, actually. That's
good point.
Man, she did, I don't know, 3 or 4 episode arc on The Sopranos and was just so gorgeous, and you sometimes wonder, you think, well, is she just as hot in person or maybe even hotter?
Smoking.
Excellent.
So unlike Sam Jackson, did you actually read the script before taking the part?
No, of course not.
That's what I wanted
excellent.
To hear.
Excellent.
We all wanted to hear.
Normally, that's not the case. See, normally you're like, well, I want to know that he read it and identified with the character and he felt like he spoke to something.
What is my muse? Yeah, no, snakes were my muse and Sam was it.
Fantastic. We're talking to Nathan Phillips from Snakes on a Plane, which opens Thursday.
Now, have a good summer, everyone, and leave Mel Gibson alone.
All right, Nathan, do you have parting words for us? Parting thoughts, observations about why, apart from the obvious, why this is the greatest movie of our lifetime?
Because it's fun and people have to, you know, there's so much seriousness. I think Snakes on a Plane allows for the imagination to kick in. So be a kid for a day and just succumb to it.
I think we're being kids all week. You know, Rick is officially done.
Oh, no, we're completely ramping. Our whole program this week, every single day, is we are doing something revolving around Snakes on a Plane, my friend.
Good. So. A lot full of disappointments. Just how you roll with it. So don't worry, this might be disappointing. There's lots of snakes on the plane and that's what you get when you see it. You'll love it.
All right.
Have you seen the film yet, Nathan?
Have you seen the completed film?
I have.
You've seen the completed film? How long is the film?
I don't know. I really couldn't answer that question. I didn't have my watch out.
It'll be busy.
And I didn't see the, I still had CGI effects to be placed in, but I got the gist of it. And I thought the score, the music was sick. I thought the editing was amazing. I thought Adam Greenberg, who shot Jaws and such amazing films, did an amazing job to shoot on a plane for 70 minutes of film and make it look interesting.
Now,
so
I
think you won't be disappointed.
And I know that that we're kind of short on time here, but just to recap for people, now you play Sean Jones. Now you are the reason the snakes are on the plane to begin with.
Thanks. Just when everyone starts to like me, you tell them why I'm the reason why the snakes are on the plane.
Are you a villain? Are you a bad guy?
I'm a good guy. I see a poor guy get killed and I have to do the right thing and become an eyewitness and fly from from Hawaii to Los Angeles, and I'm a Hawaiian surfer, motorbike riding dude who his world is quickly run havoc by snakes.
That's fantastic.
Okay, I was catching like every third word there. Excellent. All right.
Sorry, there we go. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy.
Fantastic.
Good answer.
Let's get one more question here. Let's see. This is Bob. Bob, do you have a question for Nathan from Snakes on a Plane?
Yes, Nathan. I was just wondering if if snakes in space could be in the future for you there.
Ooh, those cold-blooded things, why not?
Fantastic. All right, thank you, Bob. There you go. All right, Nathan Phillips, do you have a website? Do you have something people can check out if they want to know more about the man who is Nathan Phillips?
Not really, mate. Just look out there. I don't know. You'll see my next film.
And what is your next film? Do you know?
It's a beautiful Australian film called West, and it's a good Australian film. And then the big one with the fast cars, the hot chick, and Eddie Griffin called Redline.
Excellent.
Out for that, okay. If you like cars.
Excellent. Anything else before we go here? Anything? Anyone? I check in the room?
No.
All right.
That was it. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
We are so excited for this film. The second we heard the title, we were all over it.
All right.
That's
so
great.
Nathan Phillips, Snakes on a Plane, thank you, and best of luck with the film and with your future career, sir.
Thank you. Have a great summer, everyone. Enjoy.
Thank you, my friend. There you go.
Bye.
All right, there you go. All right. Thank you. Scotty, you can talk to Nathan. Boy, That was that. You know, we waited, and then it's like we got into that, and then it was done. That guy was just one big coiled ball of Australian pimping.
It just never stopped, man.
Every time we asked that guy a question, this is Nathan Phillips, we just talked to him for Snakes on a Plane. Every time we asked him a question, do you know he treated it like it was the final question of the interview?
Yeah.
So, what's your name? I'm Nathan Phillips. Have a great summer. Check out the film. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. That was it, man.
Gotta go.
I'm speaking of incomprehensible gibberish. No one can understand what I'm saying. You're having to pretend that you understand my responses.
Leave Mel Gibson alone, you wanker.
Have a great summer. Okay. Well, I think we realized as we waded hip deep into that interview, really, what can you ask a guy who's in Snakes on a Plane? So there's the snakes, and they're where again? I mean, it's just nowhere.
So are the snakes easy to work with?
There's nowhere to go.
Do you have a favorite snake?
Has anybody here, so we're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, Aaron Geek in the City Duran,
And Sarah. So I forget Sarah.
Sarah, who's taking this opportunity to update her MySpace page and
her email.
And her blog, filing her nails.
I saw this picture of Lindsay Lohan. I've got to get it up.
There's going to be a great picture of Lindsay Lohan posted on Sarah's blog. By the way, if you've been listening to today's program, you're wondering where the normally well-structured and flawlessly executed Rick Emerson show is. That program is gone for probably the whole of the week.
Aaron and I just debated this morning.
Because every day we've got a Snakes on a Plane thing. Today we've got him. Tomorrow, what is the director's name?
It's David Ellis.
Yeah.
Dave Ellis, who is the director of Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
There was unpleasantness halfway through the film.
Did it take two people to direct this film?
Oh, yes.
It taking two people to write Happy Birthday.
Ronnie Liu left halfway through over, quote, creative differences.
Now, he was the guy that did Freddy vs. Jason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so it's not like he can't do this B-movie stuff.
Seriously.
Yeah, so I want to know what happened to poor Ronnie.
Creative differences. Well, that's, I think what creative differences are is what you mentioned before, Scott, where it's clearly, I think this is a movie where the star becomes the director.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Sam Jackson, it's like that American History X thing, where the guy who's the star of the film ends up being the de facto helmer of the film.
Well, straight from the get-go of this interview we just had with Nathan, you know, you mentioned with Snakes on a Plane.
I don't think
he
ever mentioned the director.
No, because he
doesn't matter.
He said Snakes on a Plane week, his reaction was, oh, Sam Jackson will be proud.
Yeah. Totally. Well, it's like that guy, it's like that poor guy that directed V for Vendetta, you know? But yeah, V for Vendetta, directed by that guy, the Wachowskis, you know, and everybody just knows it's the Matrix brothers, you know? So, anyway. All right, so tomorrow we have, I've already forgotten his name.
The director.
Not Sam Jackson, the other guy.
Of Snakes on a Plane.
David Ellis.
Wednesday we're going to be giving away ticks, as they say in radio. And then Thursday, of course, we're going to be the screening, 10 p.m. Century, 16 Eastport.
On the 82nd. Because I bought my tickets this weekend at Eastport.
Yeah. We've got some tickets, but very, very few. New Line, they were really, really, because they know. I mean, let's just say what we all know to be true, which is this movie's going to be terrible. We all know that that's the case. But there is a place for a terrible film now and again, especially one with Sam Jackson and snakes and a plane.
I would say that place has been missing for a long time.
Absolutely. It has been too long. What is the last really good... We're doing the show in reverse. It's like we're doing the 2 o'clock hour now. But, I mean, what is the last really good B-movie that we had a wide release?
I actually think it would have been Freddy vs. Jason.
Maybe. I almost don't count those. They're almost like their own separate, you know, franchise film is almost its own
thing. Okay, yeah.
But I mean, I can't remember the last time there was just a great, stupid, fun B-movie that played in theaters everywhere because they've all got $100 million budgets now.
I
like
would
the
have
Mummy
to
comes
say
to mind.
Like Army of Darkness, maybe? The last one?
Something like that.
Eight-Legged Freaks, perhaps?
I could see that. I never did. I never actually saw that movie because it looked terrible.
Sorry, Cable. A couple nights ago.
Bad.
No, you know what?
Diamond,
no, no.
Phillips.
Lake Placid was the last great B movie.
Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Hey, are we all? Sarah, you done with Lake Placid? What?
Betty White?
Derisive laughter.
It was no. It was amusing.
He seemed taller.
I'm sorry. You know, I just tune out when all three of you guys are going.
There's a girl in here.
Is there like a direct? Is there a direct inverse ratio to like the number of penises in a room and the like? The amount of attention you pay to the conversation.
Well,
as
it
one
depends
goes
on the conversation. Like I love the conversation we had on Friday about Scotty J and his Brokeback Mountain problems.
Yes.
Oh, like, so you know, when you guys are talking about snake movies, I don't have anything to contribute.
So it depends on the orientation of said penis if it can hold your interest.
Okay, moving on. We're just gonna move.
What if they were
move forward?
What if they
now
were gay snakes?
Okay. What if the snakes were learning how to love?
I don't even know how to respond.
I am afraid to love. Can you? And then
those chaps look great
and then
on
there
you.
And then there was a scene where one of the snakes was outside the other one's apartment in the rain, like looking up and with a guitar. This whole program's already gone off the rails. It's 12:30 here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Maybe we should take a break.
But I got people are calling about snakes on a plane. Let's see. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I believe it was called Slither last summer, that alien little worm sort of movie there. That
Slither?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they're alien zombie slugs. Yeah.
The
they had Michael Rooker in it, so that's
they're
great.
They're in her brain.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember that one?
Yeah, Michael totally. Rooker. Gotta go get some answers.
Get some answers.
he's an automatic B movie man.
Michael Rooker, everybody knows him from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
And Mallrats.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. Is this Cecil? Sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, the unintentional B movie like Superman. I can't even remember the number with Richard Pryor. And
three. Superman. Such losers. Such losers. Superman 3, yes. That was a terrible film.
Wait, is he suggesting Superman 4 was better?
Film, but it was... It had moments of brilliance, but it was all just, they tried to be so serious about themselves, or about the movie, but it was just total send-up, and I don't think any of it was intentional.
No, I
believe it was intentional.
No, actually. That was a terrible film. It was no Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. All right, Cecil, thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Let us also, Nathan Phillips from Snakes on a Plane, who we talked to a few minutes ago, that's triggering this whole thing, he mentioned Anaconda, which is a pretty terrible, great film. I don't know if you've actually sat and watched Anaconda.
It's fantastic.
I never did see Anaconda 2, but Anaconda is pretty. Anaconda's pretty great. And you mentioned Bats with Lou Diamond
That's
Phillips.
That's right. And let us not forget the Sci-Fi Channel did Python versus Anaconda.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The Sci-Fi Channel is the home of all the really great and bad B movies now, like Man with the Screaming Brain and the Mansquito, which we talk about a lot here. So, all right. That's do we savvy. Have to break here?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're really incredibly behind. All right. So, Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com, Scott Daly, FilmFeverRadio.com. So they.
Aaron's also with FilmFeverRadio.com.
I know, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, no, everybody knows.
I'm trying to maximize the pimping.
Everyone knows who the wizard behind the curtain is, Scott. It's all right.
Okay. I'm trying to spread the whoring out here among as many sites as I can. So, awesome. Nathan Phillips, Snakes on a Plane. So thank you guys for doing that. And then tomorrow.
Hey, thank you.
Tomorrow we'll be doing an interview with Guy who directed,
Alan Smithy.
Snakes on a Plane.
Alan Smithy. With Sam Jackson's a lackey who directed Snakes on a Plane. So that is coming up tomorrow at, I think, 1 o'clock is when we're going to have that. We'll be playing the interview with the director of Snakes on a Plane. And then Thursday, are we all going to be at the screening?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there, definitely.
We'll be there.
Fantastic. You bringing Jen?
Yeah, the lovely Jen will be there, yes.
All right. By the way, I'd like to thank, while Aaron is here, I would like to thank you for, again, tarnishing my image as a man by sending that RSVP to my house for your wedding.
You're welcome.
It's coming up, which is like the most well-done RSVP I've ever seen in my life.
Custom dumb at home by myself and the lovely Jane.
They're fantastic. Did you get mine back, by the way? I mailed it.
Yes, I did receive yours. Thank you.
I think I've got it here. No, I don't. It's in my office. But I have... here it is. Sarah, have you seen this? This is the RSVP that we got in the in the mail from Aaron and Jen because they, no, wait, it's not a public secret like you're getting married.
Oh yeah, it's not.
So Aaron is
sorry,
I'm a geek getting married. I gotta be proud about that.
When is your wedding, Aaron?
October.
October.
Rocktober. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see, that's fantastic. Now, what he's done is they've taken the Hollywood Theater, which, of course, is in the Hollywood District. They've taken the Hollywood Theater, and they've altered the reader board so it says, you know, so instead of a movie, instead of saying, like, Citizen Kane, one, you know, one night only, it says, like, Aaron and Jen, and it's done as though it were a movie.
It might actually say Big Fat Geek Wedding on the marquee.
Yeah, see, so thanks. So between you and my goddamn brother who did this thing where he had 100 balloons, 100 red and white and pink balloons waiting in his fiance's, you know, her bedroom, you know, her dorm room or whatever. She walks, she opens the door like, oh, here I am home from a long day at work. She walks into her house. My brother has gone into the house. He has inflated 100 different balloons, which are all floating throughout the house. And then each balloon inside has a little paper card that says something about her that he loves.
In each balloon?
Each balloon has a little scroll inside that's like, you know, I love the softness of your hair, some gay sentiment. And then there was something at the end where she had to, like, fall, like, the last balloon, because they were all numbered, and the last balloon has, like, some instruction she has to follow, which takes her to, like, the middle of a field somewhere, where she has to find a box that takes her to Zihuatanejo, you know, where he's standing on the beach holding a sign that says, like, will you marry me? And just makes you want to push him in front of a bus.
And you were just in San Diego, and you just kind of looked at Lara and said, you wanna?
Do you know, no, seriously, no, do you, I've told you, you know how it happened? We were sitting on the couch at our home in Southeast Portland, sitting there on a sofa.
Hugh Quincy Jones music.
On hold on, yeah. No, that's well spotted.
Give us that romantic story of love. So we're love in Southeast.
So we're sitting on my sofa.
Hey, baby.
In Southeast Portland.
I just fixed the patch in the couch.
Watching that made-for-TV movie about Martha Stewart. Starring, what's her name? From Moonlighting?
Better.
No idea. From where? From what movie?
From Moonlighting, you know, the,
Cybill Shepherd.
Cybill Shepherd, yeah.
So we're watching the made for TV movie about Martha Stewart on the couch together eating microwave popcorn.
Wow.
With our shoes off.
What?
And at one point, literally, I looked at her and I'm all, you're gonna get married? And she's like, really? And I said, and why not? And she says, okay. And then, like, you know, just went back to watching television. There you go.
Ah, that's so sweet.
Ah, your love. Okay. True love.
Was it buttered popcorn, at least?
Yes. It was jalapeno. All right.
Love's been spicy ever since.
Okay. Moving on. All right, Scott Daly, Aaron Duran. We'll see you guys again tomorrow as we interview director guy of Snakes on a Plane. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
Rego. Take a break here, and we come back. Clyde Lewis. We'll also talk to Mailman Chris, who will help us give an overview of what's coming up as we're now, I don't know, a sixth of the way through the program. Coming up later on, other things as well. And so forth. And this is all true. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. Tim Riley at the City Desk with the Ministry of Truth. Next, don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Dry County Crooks. Emerson Show live from Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. This email about your Snakes on a Plane interview. Nathan Phillips. That guy was so cool, says this woman. He had a comeback for everything you guys put out there. You've only been on for half an hour, so already best show ever. You have brightened my day with Mr. Snakes on a Plane. Says Shannon. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll welcome Clyde Lewis to the Rick Emerson Show with news at Ground Zero. Also back to the City Desk and Tim Riley's Ministry of Truth. We'll get to that. Let me see if they find the... let us know. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Radio Show. How are you, Chris?
Not too bad.
You're the Snakes on a Plane guy?
I did.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what sets this program apart, my friends. So tomorrow we will also have the director of that film. Wednesday, I don't know, we got to find something to do on Wednesday, and I'm getting a little off point here, but and we got to figure out a way to actually give away our snakes on a plane tickets, because you can't just do like caller number 9 or whatever for those. We got to figure out something to do, some mechanism by which to give away the snakes on a plane tickets, and we will talk more about that later in the program. All right, so here's what we're going to get to today. Now, retrospectively, I would have, had we had more time, or had I known the guy was going to call at 20 minutes late, I would have teased the snakes on a plane guy. So that should go on the list and should be checked off as already done, because I would have teased that and I did get to it. Also today, Clyde Lewis, news at Ground Zero. We have Nanette Sosa, CNN radio correspondent, will be joining us. Gary Baumgarten is going to be here to talk about Boy George laboring in the hot New York sun, picking up trash like a tool. Peter Carlin is going to speak with us later on, and we will talk about snakes on a plane ticket giveaways. All those things, plus any number of other things, but definitely those things. So that is what I've got. Those are the things that we are guaranteeing today, Chris.
Okay, I've got the Nathan Phillips thing, which you've already done.
Ha-ha!
Ooh. So Gary Baumgarten, Peter Carlin, and various other snakes on a plane.
Yes.
Is there a storm watch today?
Maybe, but at this point I'm not prepared to say, because you never know with that girl. And it's not really so much her as it is just her very busy schedule. I mean, it's not a secret that she's done some other stuff. I know she was on Kink a while back, and, you know, she talks to other people. That's, you know, she's there to, you know, pimping is sort of part of what she does there. So, I just don't know when, that she's gonna be calling in. So I don't wanna promise that, but I believe so, yes.
Okay, so we won't.
No, we will not.
Alright, so I've got those 6 items of which you've already gotten one.
Yes, thank you, and let's hear it for me.
Woohoo!
Alright, there you go. Thank you.
And you're 46.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. We have to go now. Alright, thank you. There you go.
The postman is the first one in your neighborhood.
Alright, Tim Riley, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Sorry. Never mind, we'll fix that in post. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, News at Ground Zero, with our good friend, Clyde Lewis. I was just letting everybody know that Tim was still alive.
I am.
That's good.
And we're not making any promises, because we don't want to be referred to as the Broken Promise Land.
No. Not anymore, so that we already are. Clyde Lewis, how's your life, sir?
Hey, you know, in the history of me working at this fine company, American Intercontinental University, never in my life have I found a name, but actually, when I was in the middle of the conversation, I just busted up and cracked up and couldn't stop laughing.
Because why? What?
Because there was this name that I called today that was one of the funniest damn names I've ever called.
Can you say it on the air?
Yes. Booba Shabaya. everybody's in the office laughing about it.
Booba Shabaya.
Booba Shabaya. So
from
now on, if you're ever coming across a friend who's at a party, he's stoned or he's drunk, just go up to him and go, Booba Shabaya. It's just the funniest name.
That's like that time we were talking about the word macadamia.
Yeah, macadamia.
And how if you were high, macadamia is the funniest word you've ever heard in your life.
And wingnut is also pretty funny. You go, wingnut! And everybody just cracks up when you say it. Or exuberance is also pretty funny. Too.
Let's not forget gazebo as
gazebo,
well.
Gazebo, yeah.
And muckluck.
Muckaluck. Yeah,
guiding America's youth, kids. He's Clyde Lewis.
Oh, I mean, you know, words to live by. Booba Shabaya. Just remember that.
Okay,
anyway, enough of that.
That's like that moment in The Jerk where Steve Martin is in bed with what's-her-name, Carol Kane, and he says, right now, I think I want to say something to you that I've never said to anybody else. Oomba Goomba Gawa. which is
Shabaya.
See, I'm not even high, and that's funny. I'm high on life.
See, I want everybody in Portland, just when they say hello to people, just say Booba Shabaya. I just think it's funny.
It's just sort of the password.
It's up there. It's up there with like Aloha.
Yeah,
like I'm Jack Lord, tonight on Hawaii 50. Booba Shabaya. I don't know who it was. I just cracked up because I cracked up right in the middle of the conversation. This lady answered the phone and I said, "Hi, is Booba Shabaya there?" And she just went, "Whoa!" It must have been a wrong
number. The secret word is Booba Shabaya.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I want to talk about something serious, I guess.
Let's talk about fear and doom and how we're all going to die.
No fear and doom, but remember, I called you aside Tuesday at Dante's. when we were watching the lovely Storm Large perform her beautiful song.
Oh, yeah, this was Clyde. So I'm sitting at the table, we're watching Storm. Clyde comes up and he leans over and he goes, "They lost all the moon footage! Surprise!" And then he just, like, wheels off drunkenly toward the bar.
Yeah. It's true, though. I was like, NASA, apparently, for those of you that don't know, the original moon footage, Apollo moon footage, all of it.
And when you say original, you mean original fake moon footage.
Well, yeah, the original moon footage.
The original hoax footage.
The hoax footage of the real footage of the footage on the moon that isn't real. Basically, as Uba. Shuba, Booba, Shabaya. Okay. Apparently NASA has lost it all. And when they asked what happened to it, somebody said, well, somebody thought it wasn't all that important. They lost it.
They put it behind some old, like, home movies and a wedding tape. And
what's funny is if you look at all the other national or international newspapers, they're saying now it's time for the United States government to come clean and say that we faked it, because they said no one who holds something that close and that dear to them would lose that kind of footage, because it's the most important thing ever. And so now they're saying, well, obviously the moon shot was faked, so we gotta, you know. And so it was just funny. In fact, I'm going to be on that History Channel show where I'm going to be talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Producers called me and they had this conference call. It was the funniest thing. They said, okay, Clyde, you're on conference, and everybody in the room were laughing out loud at what that NASA had lost it, because they were thinking, because, you know, when they come out, they thought I was kind of nutty, and now they're laughing. They're saying, you're not so nutty after all.
Well, I just don't understand, like, where they would keep the moon footage that they would lose it. Like, don't they have shelves?
No, actually, they have this room where they put the Ark of the Covenant, and
they
just leave it there with all the other things.
We have top men working on it.
Like that alien that they left in Hangar 18.
Yes.
And stinking of, speaking of things that are dead and cryptozoology type thing, they say now that Bigfoot has been shot, and he's dead in South Dakota.
Why would was he there on vacation? Was he there for Sturgis?
I think he was there with Booba Shabaya. actually, no, they said that Bigfoot was shot in South Dakota, and the medicine men, all the medicine men there, all the Lakota Sioux people, are all like freaking out because they think that Bigfoot's some sacred thing, so like smudging him with sage and trying to bring him back to life. But it was written about in some Field and Stream thing. I don't know if it's true or not, but in fact, they did this big thing. There was this timeline where they saw Bigfoot. Then they called these hunters out to go shoot him, and somebody, like, blasted a hole in him.
Why would you do that? If you were a hunter and Bigfoot was, like, walking around, why would your immediate response be to call some guys to come and kill him?
Because they want proof of him.
That is the American way, though.
It really is. He looks like slightly different. Let's kill him.
It's about damn time we mount him on some, you know, in some barbershop with a jackalope.
You mean on a wall?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you have the head of Bigfoot there. But it's true that if you look it up, just type in somewhere, I don't know, just say Bigfoot shot in South Dakota, you'll have all these stories about how all these hunters are saying, they shot him, he's dead, he's in a hospital somewhere, and they're keeping it quiet, they're keeping it under wraps. And you know, it's not the government keeping it under wraps, it's the Indian tribes. They don't want anyone to release the information about Bigfoot being shot.
And that's because...
because Booba Shabaya.
Way to do a callback. Excellent. Fantastic. You are going to be at Dante's tonight, are you not?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be at Dante's tonight. And boy, am I going to be gloating about the moon footage. I'll tell you what.
Okay. And also, you can find out more. You listen to Ground Zero and Ground Zero Quick Takes, et cetera, et cetera. It's all at ClydeLewis.com.
Exactly. And when you go about your business today and they say, have a nice day, you say, Booba.
Shabaya.
Okay.
It's fantastic. Thank you, Clyde.
You have a bye.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Clyde Lewis, News at Ground Zero. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Oh, we have Nanette at 1, so we've got a break.
Oh, for the love of... okay. No, I'm not complaining, because Nanette is in Israel where there's peace. Is that right? It's like that episode of MASH.
Ceasefire.
Yeah, that episode where the thing.
But somebody from Fox has been kidnapped on the Gaza Strip.
So it's all a wash. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, Nanette. I got to stop that. Nanette Souza from Israel. Keep it together, Emerson. Later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Top 5. I swear to God, we'll do some news. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.